This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it is finally here. Hump Day is here, and here's what we have for Wednesday. We have Brandon Darby coming up about 20-25 minutes from now on the human smuggling war going on at the border. Did you know about that? That's coming up soon. We are going to talk about the American working man, the American citizen being sold out by our government. I'm actually going to address that in the beginning. How are you and me, how are we supposed to treat the new arrivals to our prison camp when they helped put us there? We're going to talk about this NYU professor complaining about these Columbia protests, all that, Joe Biden is an idiot, and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But first, we need to pause.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
He read the pause off the teleprompter instead of just pausing. Anyway, let's get to something else. And I am going to try to calm myself down. I, on occasion, will get fired up. You know, on occasion, I will raise my voice on the radio, but I don't do that often. It gets my blood pressure up. It gets your blood pressure up. You've got what? I've got how long with you? 15 minutes? Half hour? Maybe I'm at work with you and it's all 3 hours or at home, but we don't have long together every day. And I don't, we got to talk about problems. I don't want to stress you out. I don't want to stress me out. I'm a human being, flesh and blood, just like you. And honestly, I'm a pretty happy person. Even though things are bad right now, I'm a pretty happy person because you know what? It's all in God's hands. It is what it is. But there will occasionally be a story or an email that guts me badly. And then from there, I get filled with rage. And so let me read the email because we're going to go over some things and it's going to take a little while, but just stay with me. This is the email today. The subject of this one is EBT and SNAP. I feel like a disappointment. That's the subject of the email. Hey, Jesse. I feel like a complete failure as a man, husband, and father. I just applied for EBT. We can't make it with things costing what they do. We just don't have money to pay for anything, let alone food. We've been eating ramen for a few months and getting eggs from a few chickens in the backyard. Hopefully the garden will do better this year. I'm a farmer and crop prices are at historic lows with record input costs. And things aren't going to get better anytime soon. I'm dying here, man. I hate welfare. Yet here I am hoping to get a few bucks from the government because I just can't do it anymore. Why is this happening? How does it end? I'm not going to obviously read his name. I never do that unless you tell me to. He actually requested that I don't. But I just want you to marinate on that for a moment. Farmer. American. Husband, trying to make ends meet, care for himself, care for his wife, provide. And because of what's happened, he can't right now. Now, as you're marinating on that, why am I trying to calm myself down here? Well, I'm just thinking about several different things. One of the things I'm thinking about, actually, I'm looking at this picture right here. I can't get this picture out of my head. It's a picture taken from the floor of the United States House of Representatives. And we have a bunch of American lawmakers waving Ukrainian flags. Farmer just signed up for welfare checks. American congressmen and congresswomen waving Ukrainian flags. President of the United States of America. What gets him all misty? Is he laying awake at night stressing about the farmer on welfare? Nah, man. He's got bigger fish to fry.
This weekend, the reports, this is, I find this amazing, the reports of cheers breaking out of the trenches in eastern Ukraine. Probably came from one of your folks, a reporter or someone. I'm not sure where it came from. But that they're cheering as they watch the House vote in support for Ukraine. It's not like they don't understand what we've done. Not like they don't understand how critical this is for them.
I wonder how welfare farmer felt when he found out $91 billion was going to Ukraine, to Israel, to Taiwan. I wonder what welfare farmer felt as he watched the Ukrainian flags being waved on the House floor. I wonder what welfare farmer felt when he watched $300 million in taxpayer money being handed out to sanctuary cities across the United States of America so they can provide food, shelter, hotels to illegals. I wonder how welfare farmer felt. Here's another one. Former fiscal conservative, this is from Breitbart, Mike Johnson is considering a scheme to expand earmarks. He's working with Tom Cole, another one of these guys in leadership, and they want to, quote, unlock the possibility of more earmarks. That way, the next time they pass another gigantic government funding bill, all the friends of GOP reps and Democrat reps, House reps, senators, they can hand out large quantities of taxpayer money. The money they took from you, they can take it out of your wallet, snickering as they do so, and turn around and hand it to their friends. Who might their friends be? I don't know. Maybe it's an illegal in this sanctuary city. Maybe the money's going to go directly to New York City. Why? Well, a lot of people have moved out of my district. Remember that Democrat congresswoman who said it? A lot of people have moved out of my district. These illegals, they're going to get counted in the census. If we keep bringing them into my district, blood-sucking the taxpayer, then I get to keep my seat forever. Maybe that's where that next money's going to go. Maybe the next money's going to go to Jewish producer Chris's solar panel company. I mean, of course, he makes all his solar panels in China. Don't worry, Chris doesn't have a solar company. Don't worry, he makes all his solar panels over there in China. They're all made in China. He's outsourced all that. And all the money's either going to go directly into his pocket or it'll go to bribe the various Chinese politicians he has. And of course, Chris is going to do the right thing, the thing he knows what to do. Whoever signs those earmarks for him, maybe it'll be Chuck Schumer. Chris is going to make sure he makes a generous donation to his reelection pack, to his reelection campaign, just making sure to keep all the money in the family, of course. I wonder how welfare farmer feels about that. I wonder what welfare farmer thinks when the head of the Senate, New York's very own Chuck Schumer, when he brags on the House floor and thanks GOP leadership for helping spend more of his money as he waits in line for his EBT check.
I thank Leader McConnell, as I've mentioned before, working hand in hand with us, not letting partisanship get in the way. I thank Speaker Johnson, who rose to the occasion, in his own words, said he had to do the right thing despite the enormous political pressure on him. And let me say this once again about my friend, the Republican leader. We were of one mind to get this bill done. It was our bipartisanship, our linking of arms together, that got this large and difficult bill through the Congress, despite many political ideologues who wanted to bring it down. Bipartisanship once again prevailed, and I thank him for his leadership.
I wonder what welfare farmer thinks about that. just a big cheese Democrat thanking a big cheese Republican for giving him more taxpayer money to hand out. I wonder what Welfare Farmer thinks about this. New York State, they're getting ready to hand out $30 million over a three-year period. Now, who's that going to? Is it going to farmers? Hourly workers who can't make ends meet? Is it going to you? That second job? Maybe trying to pay to at least take the family down to the beach for a weekend? I mean, the hotels are expensive. Is it going to you? No. $30 million over the next 3 years is actually going to pay journalists. I'm not making this up. They're handing out $30 million to the apparatchiks to continue to carry the Communist Party line. I'm not going to yell, actually. I thought it was. I'm not. Because honestly, I'm not even sickened. I'm sad. I can't believe that this is what has happened to my country. I am filled with so much hatred for all of these people, all of them, every single one of them. The American citizen gets nothing but pillaged and looted as they drain us and hand out all their money to their friends. They're thieves, dirty thieves, everybody in this government, and it freaking sickens me. Gosh. All right, we can move on and talk about something else. I have one more point I want to make on this. Look, honest, this is why you gotta make preparations if you can. If you're not on welfare, please do make preparations, financial preparations. Prepare as if the spending will go on without end, because I am sorry to tell you, the spending will go on without end. That is why you must acquire hard assets while you can. Gold or silver coins in your physical possession. If you have a retirement, before you watch it disappear into the ether, call Oxford Gold Group and get precious metals as part of that too. Let Oxford Gold Group take care of these needs for you. They make it easy. 833-995-GOLD. All right? We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, which is coming soon. I look at the state of things right now, and it angers me, and it sickens me to no end, watching the American people get smashed while everyone at the top and all the dirt balls at the bottom rake it all in. I can't stand it. And I can't stand that the GOP leadership can stand it. I freaking hate it. I hate it. And I heard this clip from Ron Paul. I haven't heard from Ron Paul in ages, but I heard this. I know he's still out there. I just don't listen to much stuff. But I heard this clip, and man, what a freaking gut punch. This is why you've been screaming and why I've been screaming so much lately about the funding, the foreign aid, the FISA stuff. Our desperate time is right now. People are desperate now, not in November. No, it's not coming soon. I have people that email me this question, and I understand the question. Hey, what happened? When is all this stuff going to happen? When are we going to start coming apart financially? Jesse, when is this? Now! Maybe by the grace of God, you aren't feeling it quite yet. But right now, Americans across the country are being smashed while the federal government pillages them and hands all the money out to their friends, their wealthy elite friends, both in America and abroad, their dirt balls at the bottom. Oh, here, illegals, here's some for you, and here's another Visa card for you. And the American citizen gets bupkis. Remember the employment numbers? Oh, yeah, millions of jobs have been added over the past few years. Oh, not for you, though. Not for Americans. You see, American citizens, they've had a net job loss over the past few years. But everyone who's come here from another country, living high on the hog. And I heard this from Ron Paul. Daggone, man. Talk about bringing it home.
When future historians go searching for the final nail in the U.S. coffin, they may well settle on the date April 20th, 2024. On that day, Congress passed legislation to fund 2.5 wars. Hand was left of our privacy over to the CIA and the NSA and give the U.S. president the power to shut down whatever part of the internet he disagrees with. So in the
That's the TikTok ban, in case you're wondering what he's talking about there.
Worst example of bipartisanship, Johnson reached across the aisle, stiffed the Republican majority that elected him speaker, and pushed through a massive gift to the warfare corporate welfare state. After the House voted to send another $60 billion...
You get the idea. It's really bad right now. And look, along these same lines, Jesse, why is Speaker Johnson getting involved in protests and suggesting the Colombia president resign? Well, how is he involved? Why is this is another thing that freaking grades on me. Mike Johnson and the GOP leadership, I don't want to put it all on Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson, those who enable him, those who have helped him, has just done everything that Ron Paul just laid out there. Abused your freedoms, empowered and funded the FBI, CIA, given them the ability to spy on you, spent endless amounts of your money. You name it, he's done it. And today, actually, it's actually yesterday afternoon, I saw him announce that he was going to go visit Colombia to speak out against the anti-Semitic protests. Well, gee, Mike, thanks for taking care of the big issues for us. That's burying this country. Why do I care if a bunch of dirty commie scum are fighting other dirty commie scum on the campus of NYU, Columbia, or any one of the other Ivy League campuses out there? Oh, thanks, GOP. Wow, what a load off. A speech from Milquetoast Mike Johnson, I'm sure, is going to tackle anti-Semitism. In the meantime, American citizens of every religion, of every color across the country, are having to take out second jobs to make ends meet. But no, the best we get out of the GOP is fund every freaking dirty evil thing happening in this government, and then a speech at Columbia. Thanks, Mike. Man, what a lion. What a leader. And I'm freaking sick of it, man. I'm sick of these people. They don't care about us at all. And you can make a million arguments, and we've talked about this, you and I have had this talk a million times about why these guys cave. Are they cowards? Are they evil? Are they this or that? But is there nobody there who thinks about us? Is there nobody, I should say, in GOP leadership? Because I understand there are some good people there, the Freedom Caucus types and whatnot. I understand that. But is there nobody in GOP leadership with patriotism left? That email I read about welfare farmer, that email I read. Is there nobody in GOP leadership who would read that email of a man suffering, feeling like a disappointment, which he's not, by the way. If you're listening, welfare farmer, you're not. Feeling like the world's been ripped out of him, like his guts have been ripped out, like the American dream has been taken away. Is there no one in leadership who is stirred by that? How are you not stirred by that? Gah! I got to change the subject before I start screaming. You know what? Brandon Darby's going to join us next, and he's going to talk about a turf war happening, spilling over into America. It's a problem. We're going to deal with it with Darby. Before we get to it with Darby, let's get to this. Let's remember that the bad news about being surrounded culturally is that we're surrounded culturally. The good news about being surrounded culturally, in the words I'm paraphrasing of Chesty Puller, is that simplifies our problem. We can attack them from any direction. The corporate world must be attacked with our dollars. Where we spend them, where we don't spend them. Your cell phone bill is one of the easiest ways to do a small fight in the culture war. You don't have to pay Verizon every month to crap on you. You don't have to pay T-Mobile. You don't have to pay AT&T. You can switch to Pure Talk today. It takes 10 minutes on the phone. You deal with an American who speaks English. When you switch today, on top of all the other money you save, you will save an additional 50% off your first month. Your bill goes down, huge savings. Keep your phone, keep your number, dealing with American citizens. pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk today. Brandon Darby updates us next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We are moving off of the plight of the working man for a moment. I can't stand it anyway. I can't stand watching American people be just smashed from all sides. It friggin' eats at me, man. I friggin' hate it. So we're going to talk to Brandon Darby first, and we're going to talk about all things illegal immigration. Joining me now, the great Brandon Darby, as he always does. You should read all of his stuff, the Cartel Chronicles stuff. Breitbart, cartel man. Brandon, what is going on with a human smuggling turf war? That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't sound good at all. And this is something that, you know, there's always a turf war right along the U.S.-Mexico border. Some of them impact us more than others. You know, the ones in, you know, Texas, especially south of, you know, the Rio Grande Valley sector, south of the Laredo sector and the Del Rio sector, they tend to impact us. They tend to be a lot more violent, but not always, right? You know, we've talked about this before, about just, you know, the various natures of specific cartels along the border and how that impacts us. You know, some are much more violent with non-cartel people than others. And here again, you know, we're just constantly seeing it. We report on generally two or three times a month, we're reporting on some new turf war and how it impacts, you know, us and others. So people in northern Mexico and people in the United States. So it's just same old, same old. You know, don't forget Mexico is considered a fragile state. It's not a failing state, but it's a fragile state. I think people forget that we have that along our border.
Brandon, can you explain to the American citizen, let's say he's not in, you know, he's not in the Del Rio sector. Let's say he's in New York City. Why does he give a crap if some cartel guys are cutting other cartel guys' heads off just south of the border? I know it impacts us, but it's hard lots of times for people in this country, especially separated via ways. It's hard for them to understand why. So why does it matter? Why should I care?
Well, first off, Jesse, you know, as you know, I tend to be very sympathetic to why most people who come here come here. I understand mm-hmm. why they do. But like you, I'm also sympathetic with U.S. citizens who are impacted by it. Guys like you and me, you know, I have some land. I have some resources. I can hire people to help me on that land. I'm not as negatively impacted by the constant flow of people coming here as people who are, you know, where I was 15 years ago, which is a much lower paid worker, right? In that case, it really impacted me. So, you know, most blue-collar workers are more impacted negatively by the constant flow of people here. Well, now we have a situation with various cartels along our border where they're not only drug cartels, but they're human smuggling cartels. They're not only drug cartels, but they're cartels that are making as much or more money from bringing people to our border, right, who are turning themselves in, some sneaking in, depending on the situation, as they're making as much money from that as they are from drugs, many of these groups. So how does it impact us? Well, that's one way that it impacts us. Another way that it impacts people across our country is violence and criminal activity. It impacts us if your child has an addiction to drugs or uses drugs that are likely to contain fentanyl. It impacts us in all types of ways. And not only that, but, you know, if you go into South Texas, there's a reason why there's so many public corruption task forces that the state of Texas has and the U.S. federal government, the FBI and HSI have along the U.S.-Mexico border. It's because there's more public corruption along the U.S.-Mexico border than there is in most places in the rest of the country. That's because what's happening in Mexico does not stay on the other side of the Rio Grande. That culture, that tendency for public corruption, that acceptance of public corruption, that acceptance of this type of violence is spreading, right? It's spreading, and it will continue to spread like a cancer. It will metastasize and continue to metastasize, and it will reach people there.
Speaking with Brandon Darby, of course, Cartel Chronicles. Brandon, can I'm going to ask a general question, and maybe it's a stupid question, but I know you'll be merciful if it is. In fact, no, you won't. You'll be mean about it. But here's my question. Human trafficking. I understand the slave trade is as old as mankind. It's just never gone away. It's you know, it's gone up, it's gone down, but slave trade is what it is. Human trafficking has always existed. However, at least in my eyes, over the past few years, it seems to have really, really ramped up. Now, why? Has it ramped up? If it has, why are people more profitable now than they were even 10 years ago? Why am I seeing what I'm seeing when it comes to human trafficking?
Well, I'm going to try to answer that briefly, but it's actually a very complex answer. So on one hand, yes, there is more human smuggling now than there was 10 years ago. Much more human smuggling at our border, which is the willing, you know, smuggling of human beings where two parties are willing for that to occur. With human smuggling, these criminal groups who are smuggling people tend to exploit a percentage of those people and say, hey, you're going to end up working for us for this many years for free to pay off your debt, or you're an attractive young lady, we're going to use you in the sex trade to pay off your debt and what have you. So the increase in human smuggling leads to an increase in human trafficking. In addition to that, the U.S. government began to offer all of these protections and special visas to people who were human trafficked. So now a lot of people who are smuggled here claim to be human trafficked so that they are entitled to visas and to, so it's like a form of backdoor amnesty, really. That said, there are a lot of people who are smuggled here who are trafficked. So it's very complex. Now, when it comes to domestic issues, U.S. citizens who are trafficked, do I think there's an increase in that? I can't really tell, but I can tell you that there's a lot more awareness about what's happening in our country. And usually with stuff like that, you have situations where a woman is addicted to something or is having issues or is a teenager and has nowhere else to turn or feels they have nowhere else to turn, and people take advantage of them and then pimp them out and so forth. So it's a very complex answer, but the short of the answer is overall, yes, because of the encouragement that we give to human smugglers, there is an increase in human trafficking for sure.
Brandon, you say Mexico is a fragile state. Having all these people flowing through Mexico surely cannot help that situation. My question is actually about China. I understand Mexico is wobbly, to put it mildly. From what I understand, China is taking advantage of this and they're buying up as much influence as they can. How worried should I be about a Mexico-Chinese partnership?
Well, I think you should be very worried, and this is something that is dear to my heart, and I've been sounding the alarm on for years. Mexico and China is courting Mexico. China wants Mexico to be in its sphere of influence, and the U.S. wants Mexico to be in its sphere of influence. But we have a bunch of people with libtardation, right, in positions of power in the State Department, the U.S. State Department, who don't want to influence and exercise all of the might and power that we could in Mexico. And I think that's a huge mistake, because if we look at, you know, the national telecommunications, right, the national telecommunications infrastructure in China, it wasn't a U.S. company that got the contract. It was Huawei, right? So we're starting to see more and more investment, infrastructure investment, more and more courting of Mexican politicians, which are historically corrupt, historically for sale. And China's doing a better job than we are as a country of utilizing the reality of that situation. We're so busy, again, with our State Department going, well, here's the right moral way to do it. We're going to do it the right way. And China's like, no, we're going to do it the pragmatic way, and we're going to buy these people, and we're going to have influence there. So do I think it's very concerning if there was a nation in China's sphere of influence along our southern border? Absolutely it is very concerning.
Brandon Darby, go read all his stuff, Cartel Chronicles. He's all over Breitbart. Brandon, thank you so much, my brother, as always.
Thank you.
Well, there it is. All right. Now, the gulags, you and me, we're in one together. How accepting should we be of new arrivals who really did a lot to put us there? Oh, they're sorry now when they got there. They're bunking next to you and me, trying to swindle our Kraft Mac out of us. But how accepting should we be? I ask because there's an NYU professor all over the news whining about what's going on campus. But man, does he have an interesting history? We'll discuss that in a moment. Before we discuss that, we are going to discuss your personal safety. As you just heard, the criminals are pouring over the border. Pouring over the border, and there's nothing that's going to even slow that down until maybe January. Keep in mind, even if Biden loses, Trump wins, it's January before Trump steps in. Do you think now would be a good time to buy something that will allow you to stop a bad person? I got this email. Hey, Jesse, how about using Byrna tear gas pellets on idiots chained to bumpers or taped to the roads? Listen, I love Byrna non-lethal pistol launchers, but I don't want you to use them on any protesters unless your life is in danger, okay? But I do want you to carry one in your car, by your bed, when you're out for just a jog, when you're out going to the gas station. Please carry one on you. Jesse, but I don't like guns. Fine, I love guns. I carry a gun and I carry a Byrna pistol launcher. These are non-lethal, though. So don't even call it a gun if it makes you feel better. It's legal in all 50 states, various colors. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse saves you 10%. Go get something. Carry it on you, please. All right? We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day. Remember, you can email the show, and should we love your emails, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and I will get to those in a little while. But I have this thing that bothers me, and I don't know if I'm being a bad person. So just let me lay it out for you, all right? You know the story of the prodigal son? Everyone's known this story. Even Jewish producer Chris knows this story, even though it came from Jesus. Chris? I'm just explaining. Anyway, everyone knows the story of the prodigal son, in case you don't. Dad has two sons. Dad's doing pretty well for himself. One of his sons sees some spring break videos from Cabo and decides he wants to go live the good life for a while. Chase around some dimes, drink a lot of booze, woo-hoo-hoo, all the things young men convince themselves will make them happy. So he goes to Dad and he says, Dad, I'm done with this life you've got for me. Why don't you just give me my inheritance? I got places to be. Cabo calls, Dad. And the son hops on a plane. Spirit Airlines only cost about $50. He had to fight his way there. And he gets down to Cabo and he lives the good life for a while. Of course, as it usually works out, ends up broke, miserable. In fact, he's eating out of a pigsty. And he's sitting there saying to himself, man, I ought to go back home. Maybe my dad will let me live like a slave, but at least I'll have clothes on my back, some hot food. So he goes back home. His dad sees him from far off. Of course, his dad's been heartbroken. Son left, of course. His dad doesn't yell, doesn't scream, runs to him, hugs him, puts his cloak around him. This is my son. Kill the best beef you got. We're smoking brisket tonight, baby. My son's home. The story of the prodigal son. And so I try to remind myself of that story when I have moments like I'm having right now. Moments where I'm reluctant to accept new arrivals. And this is what I mean. Bill Maher is actually a great example of this. Bill Maher has been a despicable communist piece of trash for the entirety of my life. Every left-wing cause, he has pushed it and promoted it. Today, every now and then, he'll say something, quote, anti-woke. and the right will fall all over themselves. Woo, Bill Maher, look at this, woo! And I'm sitting there thinking, this is the guy who brought us here. I have an article right here from Business Insider. It's old, though. You won't remember it. You never read it. It's in 2020. It was about the Black Lives Matter protests. And this guy, his name is Scott Galloway. He goes into extreme detail in this article about why America needs to do more to address all this systemic racism. In fact, corporations aren't doing enough. Are blacks represented in senior leadership at your organization? It's all right here. Would your black employees say they're treated and paid equitably? Have you asked? I mean, it's a laundry list of why isn't America doing more? This evil, racist place. In fact, the same guy, Scott Galloway, he was so adamant that you lose your business and your kid put on a mask and lose their schooling during COVID that he actually went on TV and kind of begged for forgiveness.
Well, I was on the board of my kid's school during COVID. I wanted a harsher lockdown policy, and in retrospect, I was wrong. The damage to kids of keeping them out of school longer was greater than the risks. But here's the bottom line. Myself, our great people, the CDC, I'd like to think the governor, we were all operating with imperfect information, and we were doing our best.
So
Oh, absolutely. Good job. Well done. We did our best. Oh, you lost your livelihood. Your 18-year-old son killed himself, but he did his best, you see. And then today, I see this from one Scott Galloway on MSNBC, and he's being praised for this.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU Square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech as long as it's against Jews.
Oh. Is campus at NYU, because he's an NYU professor, are you finding campus to be intolerant, Scott? Do you almost feel like there's a cultural revolution-y Marxist movement going on campus, Scott? Do you find that kind of hatred and division? Is it uncomfortable for you, Scott? Well, man, if only we could find the people who brought this sick, despicable culture into the mainstream in America. Hey, Scott, just a question. Where do you think we might find some of those people? Where do you think? What are their names, do you think? You think any of them are named Scott Galloway? Oh, I'm not done. We're going to have a chat. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.